We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
If any man serve me, let him follow me. Now, if you want to serve me, said, come go with me. Line up with me. If you want to serve me, not secretly. If you want to serve me, come go along. See, that's what our Lord said. Follow me. Go with me. Well, now, wait a minute. Where are you going? I'm going to a cross. I'm going to die. Do you mean that I'm to go with you? Yes, you won't bear my cross. My cross is my cross. You couldn't bear my cross. Nobody could die for sinners like Jesus did. Religious modernists have said that he died like a martyr died. He didn't die like a martyr died. He died like the Son of God died, not like a martyr. But he doesn't expect you to take up his cross. He didn't say that. He said, take up your cross, whatever that cross is, wherever that leads, whatever the burden may be, whatever's necessary for you to do. As I've said before, a cross and a burden are not the same thing. The Lord never told you to take up a burden. He said, I'll bear your burden. You have sorrows, all right. Cast your care upon the Lord, your sorrows on me, I'll bear them. But a cross is a burden that you pick up, that you don't have to pick up, and you carry it for Jesus Christ. That's a cross. It's an entirely different thing from a burden. So if he said, oh, I have my cross, what is your cross? I have a sick baby. Well, that's not a cross. You didn't pick that thing. You didn't choose to have a sick baby. So I said, well, I've just had a sorrow all my life, such a cross the world knows nothing about. I have trouble at home. That's not a cross. A cross is something you choose to take up. Our Lord chose to take up his cross. He chose to bear it. Now he said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servants be. Yeah. If you're going to serve him, you want to be with him, don't you? You're going to do what he wants you to do. You want to be close enough to him to take orders, don't you? All right, now notice this. He said, now, if any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. If any man will serve me. Now, he didn't say it'll be a wonderful road to travel. You'd have position and influence and prestige. You'll wear royal robes and you'll be somebody in the world if you follow me. No, he didn't say that. He said, my Father will honor you. And you'll get the honor. Sometimes, somewhere, the world will find out who's who. It's coming to you. The promise of God at stake, that is, if you follow him. If you take up your cross. If you are loyal, if you are faithful. Now, you can lose your reward. Take care lest some man take your crown from you. You know there's a crown that the Lord wants you to wear. I'm talking to Christians now. Now, you are saved by trusting Jesus Christ. You're rewarded by being faithful to Jesus Christ. Let's remember that. My working for him doesn't save me. I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by grace through faith in the atoning blood of Christ. I trust him to save me. Then I serve him because I love him. And if I serve him as I should serve him, and I'm faithful to him as I should be, then I'll get my reward someday. The crown he's going to give me someday. The crown for faithfulness. The crown for keeping my body under. The crown for winning people to Jesus Christ. The crown that comes to me, my crown, you'll have a right to that crown. You can't earn salvation, the gift of God's eternal life, but you can earn a reward as a Christian. Now, if you follow me, my Father will honor you. Oh, the day is coming. Your day hasn't come yet. It hasn't come. You wait till your day comes. You wait till the Christian's day comes. This day is called man's day in the Bible. This is man's day. But someday it'll be the Lord's day. And when it's the Lord's day, it'll be the day of all his saints. And that day's ahead of us. But I didn't mean to stop there. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Now listen, shall I say this, he says? Father, save me in this hour. No, not that. But for this cause came I to the world. What did you come for, Jesus? You came to die for us. You came for this? Yes. Yes, I'm not going to ask the Father to save me from it. Now, wait a minute, men and women. Jesus Christ never prayed to stay off the cross. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and perspiration like drops of blood fell from his brow. That awful agony and loneliness and suffering beyond anything anybody can ever imagine. He said, let this cup pass from me. This cup. What cup? The cup in the garden. That strange, awful cup of agony he drank there. When perspiration like drops of blood fell from his brow. There in that dark, lonely, terrible struggle of soul. But listen just a minute. The sorrow was so heavy it was crushing down upon him and breaking his heart. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He said, let this cup pass. It's a cup in the garden, not the cross. Not the cross. Don't ever misunderstand that. In other words, in some way that you can't understand, Jesus came to lay his life down, not to have it taken away from him. But the agony was so great in some strange human way that you and I can't understand. He must have felt like life was about to slip away. And he turned to his father and said, let this cup pass. Then he said, whoever is your will is my will. Thy will be done, not my will. You know, when that perspiration, that bloody sweat flowed his brow, such suffering, such agony, nobody can know. Only God the Father knew, and only Jesus' Son knew the depth of that suffering and agony. So he didn't pray to stay away from the cross. He prayed in the garden, and God heard his prayer. We know that from Hebrews. It says clearly, he prayed, and God heard him. It's perfectly taught in the Bible, perfectly clear. So he wasn't praying to stay from the cross. He never turned back from it. He never flinched from it. He was beaten into a pulp. He went to the cross there, suffering this agony for you and me, willingly dying, not having to die, willingly dying for you and me. Now notice this verse. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save him this hour. That's not the prayer. But for this hour came I into this world. Shall I ask him to save me what I came to this hour for? No, I won't do that. He said, what did you say? Glorify thy name. Father, I don't ask you to save me from this hour. I pray, glorify thy name. The glory of his Father. Oh, men and women, we speak so lightly of doing things for the glory of God. I did it for the glory of God. And sometimes we are such old liars. We just did it, you know, and we want to make it sound good. We did it for the glory of God. We ought to be careful how we use words like that. Jesus Christ prayed it. He meant it. I do it for the glory of God. Now he said, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I've already glorified it. I've glorified it again. Now notice, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Isn't it strange how they didn't understand? Here he is now on his way to the cross, on his way to lay down his life. You'd thought that people would have understood. Some said it thundered, and some said it was an angel. So the world talks still, you know. He's still the misunderstood Son of God. Some say he was not more of a virgin. Some say he was a good man, that's all. And they said he had a devil when he was here. Oh, how misunderstood. How God's misunderstood, too. And the voice of God is misunderstood. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. The folks that know, the shepherd know his voice. There's no trouble with Christians. They're really spiritual people when there's no sin between them and God. I've been preaching all these years, you know, and I know something about it. Every spiritual person listening to me now is answering in your heart what I'm saying. If you are spiritual, if you are born again, I don't care who you are. If you've got this thing in your heart, you're saying, isn't that so? Isn't it wonderful of Jesus? Your heart answers to it. That's what the Bible said. They that know God hear us. You know, the gospel is a dividing line. Jesus is a dividing line. You hold up Jesus Christ as the Son of God, died on a cross, lift him up. Don't magnify something else. Keep him exalted. And you divide the people. He always has divided the people. You know, Jesus Christ didn't come to unite the world. He didn't come, he said, to bring peace to the world. He didn't say that. He said he came to bring a sword to the world. But he came to bring peace to his own. He said to his disciples, my peace give I unto you. Unto you. He didn't offer the world any peace. He offered the world division and strife. He said he did not come to give peace. There can be no peace in this world as long as he's rejected. There's no such thing as peace. The cross divides the world. The open tomb divides the world. He's still the rejected one. And he's not going to have any peace in the world. Don't fool yourself. There's no peace for the wicked. The world's a wicked world. It's not going to have peace. Or it may have a cessation of hostilities for a while. And you may go ahead a few years. And if we don't have war, it's not because we're good, you know. It's because nobody wants to take chances on a war. That's why we don't have war. Well, sometimes it's right to have war. Trouble is, most people, you know, we don't want war, not because we don't want war, except it might be dangerous, you know. All the nations feel that way with the atomic bomb and high explosives. We believe that God Almighty would help the United States, but we don't want to be blown up, and we don't want war if we can help it. But, you know, that's not Christianity. That's self-preservation. I'm not saying anything wrong against it. I feel the same way. I don't want any bombs dropped out here on this school. But don't fool ourselves. Let's quit fooling ourselves about things. Let's face this thing. Man, let's face it. You know, you ought to want to be blown up if it'll be for the glory of Jesus. If you were like he was, and you said, glorify thy name, and I'll go to the cross. We ought to want everything that he wants us to have, because he makes everything work together for our good if we're Christian. Oh, you know, we just don't live it, you know. We don't have enough faith. We're not surrendered completely. That's the trouble with most of us. We just go along, you know. And we can't say, now, Lord, I'm in the shadow of a great sorrow. Glorify thy name. Sometimes we have grace that way. Whatever is for his glory, you want to have when you get there, don't you? All right, notice these wonderful verses. The people that have stood by and heard it said this and thundered, and another said an angel speaking to him. But Jesus understood. Jesus answered, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Came for your sakes, I already understood. You heard something. You know I've had an answer. But you don't know what kind of answer it was, just what the words were. You don't know. You just don't know, and you can't know unless you knew me, as you ought to know me. And there's so many things we could know, men and women. If we knew our Lord, if we should know him, and we surrender to him as we should be, our Father, help us to be. And help somebody who's not saved to trust you. Help somebody with a burden to come to you. Help somebody to pick up a cross and come to you. Help us to be faithful in all things. Magnify thy name. Be true to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never waver. We trust thee. We hope we trust thee fully. We trust we surrender completely. Make us what we ought to be and use us for thy glory. For Jesus' sake, amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.